that we become that I joined the gym, and in fact we joined the gym before the building was even put up, with the idea that they were going to have a swimming pool, you know. The business agent came over and said, $5 will start you because we need to pay for it, you know. So they had to pay for it. And then when the building was put up and there was no pool, we were all mad at them. We said, where's that pool that you promised us? So the alibi that they gave us was that when they were digging for the foundation, there was quicksand and they couldn't dig deep enough to, you know, put in a pool. That was the alibi, but we didn't believe it. So then I come to the gym twice a week, Monday and Wednesday. Then we started a choir. I belonged to the choir. We used to bowl on Mondays. We come to the gym right from work, and then at 8 o'clock we had choir rehearsal. Tuesdays and Thursdays was always more or less meeting. And on Wednesday we have gym, and then at 8 o'clock we have bowling. See, so I never went home for supper. I used to come right here from work. I worked over here on Coop and Harrison.
What was the name of that company?
That was Progress Bowling Company. See, they moved over there from Harrison and Wells. They moved over here. And when they went out of business, they didn't go out of business. Overnight, they moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana. So then from there, I went to C.B. Sheen, which was on Madison, right across from the first building, 325 West Madison. And I worked there for 23 years. And when they went out of business, I went to Hearts. So that's the only three shops I ever worked in 50 years.
Maria, when you start getting more active at the union and spending all of that time here, did you find yourself getting more removed from the neighborhood?
Yes.
Like you were mentioning that you'd spend all your time
there. I gave up all my friends from the neighborhood because I made new friends over here. And I didn't have time for my neighborhood friends. I dropped out of the club because then the women eventually all dropped out. It was just the boys. In fact, until not too long ago, my brother was still a member. When we were boys and girls in the club, I was the treasurer because they figured I handled money at the shows and I knew just what to do. You know. In fact, that's why I was treasurer of my local. I was the financial treasurer. Because the girl that was on before me, every time she had to send her report to New York, Cecil Blumenthal, you probably don't know her, but she used to have charge of the finance office, where Kekas is now. She had to go over the whole damn thing, or sometimes she had to make it up for her. So Clara Leanne said to me, Marie, you're pretty good at that. She says, why don't you take it over? But I used to be the vice president of the local. And so that's why I become the treasurer. And so...
Did most of your social contacts then with other women that were in the local?
Other women from the local, and then I was delegate to the CIO, you know, here in Chicago. And I belonged to the joint board, and, you know, more or less, the girls that were in the gym, we got to know each other better, and we'd go out socially. We'd go on hikes and different things. And then for about 12 years, we used to rent a cottage at the sand dunes for the summer, from Decoration Day to Labor Day, and we'd go out for weekends. And so I just faded away from the neighborhood crowd. Most of the girls got married anyway, you know, some moved out of the neighborhood. And then we moved out of the neighborhood when my sister was still single, and she's married now 43 years. So we had moved out of the neighborhood. We moved down the northwest side.
Why was that?
Well, they had a little trouble in the neighborhood. Somebody said, I don't know whether it was, did that tape recorder or anything? I don't know who started the rumor, but anyways, everybody in the building where we live got letters to move out of the building within 48 hours because they were going to bomb the building. And my mother was in California at the time because she had brothers and sisters living out there. So she lived out there, and the brother that's 2 years younger than I am was married, and he and his wife lived with us because we had a 6-room apartment until they got a start to go on housekeeping because he got married when he was 18. You know. And he was driving a cab, so he and I went out looking for a place to live. We were afraid to stay there, you know. We didn't have time to wait till my mother come back. Everybody started moving out. So we went there on the northwest side, and we found a very nice apartment, steam heat, where we had this stove heat. And he said, well, he would help pay for the rent, which was almost twice as much as we were paying where we were at. So we rented the place and wrote to my mother and told her we had to move. So she was a little bit put out, but everybody vacated the building at one time. So we lived on Kildare and Drummond, which is 2 blocks north of Fullerton. And Kildare is about 4300 west. Until my sister got married. And then my brother's wife, you know, his mother-in-law, died, and they owned some property on the south side. They had a 2-story house there. So her oldest brother said to her, if you come over and take care of the boys, because he had so slotted young teenagers in the family, and keep an eye on them, being that the mother was dead, so you can have the flat upstairs free. So that's when my brother and his wife went housekeeping. So when that happened, I couldn't stay there and pay that high rent, so we had to move out. So we went to live on on Superior Street near Western. But I didn't like the neighborhood. We never lived south of Chicago Avenue in all the years that I could remember. I didn't like it there at all.
What was the name?
On Superior.
Was there a particular kind of neighborhood there?
No, it wasn't the neighborhood, but I just didn't like the place at all. And in fact, I didn't even go look for that flat. My mother went with my brother because he lived next door. The older brother lived next door. And it was like a double building, a big long stairway going up, and on this side of the hall was his apartment, and on this side is where we went. And I went on vacation for 2 weeks. Went out of town and went on vacation in Wisconsin. And when I came home, I didn't even know where I lived. I had to go knocking on my brother's door and ask him, where do I live? And he said, across the hall. So we only stayed there about 3 years. And then we moved up on Grace and Western, Leavitt. We lived there for quite a few years. My sister got married and she lived in the same building with us. Until my kid brother got married, then it was just my mother and I, so my brother-in-law says, why should we pay 2 rents, 2 gas bills, 2 electric bills, 2 telephone bills, is why don't we get a place together? And I was here every night of the week. I never had to worry about my mother because my sister lived across the hall from us. So my mother says, what do you think of the idea? I said, I don't care, Mom. You're the one that's home all the time. I'm never home. So that's how I started to live with my sister. We sold all our furniture. Hers was newer, so we just kept our bedroom set. And I've got a bookcase that is an antique that my nephew in California's wife wants. She goes into all these old stuff, you know. She goes in colonial furniture and whatnot, so she's auntie, don't ever get rid of that bookcase. Got a desk in the middle and glass and closed bookshelves on the top and on the bottom. Don't ever get rid of that bookcase. So anyway, after we lived in a nice apartment here at the St. Joseph's Hospital for about 6 years, my brother-in-law decided to buy a house where we live now in 1940. And so my sister never worked after she got married. He wouldn't send her to work. My brother-in-law was a laundry man. Montana laundry for over 40 years. So he would never send her to work. He said, I don't want my friends to think I can't support my wife. She only had a little boy. Was about 3 years old then. So she kept hounding me, Marie, get me a job at your place. I said, we don't need anybody. See, I was a chair lady at TV Shade. I said, we don't need anybody over there. So finally my mother says, get her a job there. She's, even if she only gets $10 a week, just to get her out of the house. Because two of us are in each other's way. My mother did all the cooking. And so I got her a job as a floor girl. I was bringing to work for different people. And eventually, she was put on a machine. And it was during the war. And she was a buttonhole maker. You know, and we were making uniforms, so they had made buttonholes on the epaulette and on the cuff here. And they had some other shields over here. They had, and she was busier than a bed bug. In fact, she was there some weeks. She even had us come down and work on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Got paid double time, worked overtime every Saturday all day. And in a few weeks there, she even made more money than her husband did. So they lived on what her husband made, and what she made, they put on the house. So within 6 years, they paid off the mortgage. She made her quit. And that's when she got her daughter. She had both cesarean operations, so there's 12 years difference between the son and the daughter. So the daughter is now 27, so that's 27 years ago. So that's why she comes with me on Wednesday, because she knows a lot of the girls that we used to work together.
Marie, you were mentioning last time that a lot of the women were hand workers, and that also that a lot of them were Italian. Mm-hmm. Is there a particular reason for that?
No.
Why that was a trend?
No, there was no particular reason. It's some people are handier sewing by hand than they are by machine, you know. And most of the finishers were older women, you know. They weren't young girls like I was a young girl, and to me, working by hand was, oh, that's a noble, old people's work, you know. I used to feel that way when I was younger, but then I didn't feel that way as I grew older and got more foxy up here, you know. But just like everything else, when you're young, you think that what somebody else is doing is a little beneath you. In other words, I felt being an operator, working on a machine, I had better chance of advancing myself than hand workers. And in fact, for many years, the hand workers were underpaid. So when we used to get an increase, and they would increase according to your hourly rate, always the hand workers got more than the operators did. See? If the increase would be, say, 15% of your hourly rate, the last time we got an increase when I worked at Hart, my section only got 7%. The most of it went to the people that were more or less underpaid, that their rates weren't as high. I happen to have been fortunate. When I worked at Hart, that I had a pretty good paying job. And of course, I was also an assistant charity there when I worked at Hart. And I don't know if I should say this, but more or less the union sees that these better paying jobs are given to people that devote their time here, because we don't get paid for that. I worked for many years in charity, and I used to lose money by doing that. Because when I worked the chain, I worked for the man. And he and I both did the same kind of work. And we used to divide the work. I should have made the same amount as he did. But I had to lose so much time because we had three floors there, and I had to run from one floor to the other. You know, we had 350 people that I had to take care of. They come over with a complaint, I had to go looking for the boss and try to straighten it out. If I couldn't, then the business agent come in. And so at the end of the week, by Friday, when I see that my work was accumulating, I couldn't, keep up with him, so I had to give him extra work. So when we got our income tax slip the first year, he looked at his, and then he says, how come I got $65, $67 more than you when we divide the work? So I says, Frank, don't you figure on the work that I give you on Friday extra? I says, that's what I get for being a chair lady. I says, I'm losing money. In those days, they didn't pay it.
Did you ask to do that? Did you want to do
that?
No,
I didn't ask to do that, but being that I was active here and I had a good stiff of gab compared to some of them, some people don't like to get involved. All they want is their pay at the end of the week, and you ask them to come to a union meeting, they think you're putting a gun to them, you know. Some people don't like to be involved, but see, Clara Leon was the business agent there, and she knew that I belonged to her local.
That changed?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so she asked me to take it over. She had a man as chairman there that didn't do a darn thing. You know, he wasn't going to lose money and go take care of a complaint. Whatever he could do at lunchtime, he would do. Otherwise, he didn't pay any attention. So she put me in there. She asked me to take over. So I was very friendly with Clara. And many times I wanted to resign, and she'd say, well, who am I going to put in your place? So when I went to Archchester Marks, they had a man chairman, but they needed a woman to, you know, more or less talk to the women. A woman will speak to another woman more freely than she will with a man. They had quite a few Italians there that the chairman couldn't communicate with. So they asked me to be assistant chairman, and I didn't want the job. So Clara says to me, well, listen, don't you think you owe it to Benny Brenzel, which is Sal Brenzel's father? He was the head chairman there. I know Sal Brenzel since he was a kid. He was going to school. And Jack Mitchell, he was the business agent then. He said, don't you think you owe it to them that when Shane went out of business, you were one of the first ones to get a job? And she says, after all, they need you there, they have nobody else there that's active on your floor, don't you think you ought to take it? Well, all right, so I took it. You know, I felt it was an obligation, more or less. But you know, after I put in 23 years, taking a lot of gas from people, because you know how it is, you can please 9 out of 10, but there's always that 10th one that no matter what you do, you can stand on your head, they'll never satisfy. So, that's why I took the job at Archchester Marks as assistant chairman.